you and I both know you don't take the pots you're pooping in and serve soup in them.
Right.
And yet sin does that to our lives. Like it just infests us.
Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hanton. Today we pick up where we left off with episode 2 of my conversation with Major Amy Jo Ferguson. I heard so many people say how much they loved episode 1 and they couldn't wait, so I hurried to get this one done for y'all. So here we go with part 2. I'll see you at the end. All right, so as you know, our podcast is women's ministries based, and we like to talk about women's ministries. So what are your plans for this new appointment?
I think a lot of officers who've moved in these last couple of years, you kind of move into what feels very much like a ghost town. Mm. You see where there was life and programming and supplies, but there's not.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's not just true for my new appointment. I think that's, like I said, I think that's been true for the last 2 years. As people move in and you just go, I knew there were sunbeams in this space.
Right, right.
I see binders and
badges. You know, yeah.
Badges,
yeah.
But it's not there. And I know that there was women's ministry in the space and I see the names, but it's not happening. And so part of what my goal is to see how we can start those steps back. Because it also gives us a great opportunity of how we can reshape.
Yeah.
There's no longer, we've never done it that way before because never done anything this way before.
Right.
So still trying very much to figure it out and to figure out how that's going to look and how that's going to feel in this new space and new old space.
Yeah.
I'm excited because it's kind of a blank slate. It's also kind of intimidating because it's a big blank slate.
Yeah. Right.
And looking at kind of new ways of doing things and then trying to see how those things will translate, hopefully eventually into post-pandemic, whatever that's going to look like, because we're not real sure yet what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. And thankfully, Commissioner Rosalie Petal has allowed us to start this reimagining. What does women's ministries look like for right where you are? You don't have to fit into the box anymore.
It wasn't 100% God thing that she announces that and then pandemic and we all are kind of forced into doing that.
Completely, completely a God thing. Talk about spirit led.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there's such a freedom in that, in just the whole idea of, like you said, like starting over. It can be scary too, but yeah. So, well, we'll be praying about that because I know that can't be an easy task and trying to meet the needs of those who want to come in person, those who can't come in person, or there's so many different levels. So we'll be praying about that for you because that is a big thing. So getting back to you personally, who has had the biggest influence on your life?
Wow. I obviously my folks, my mom. My mom wanted to have 13 children.
Wow.
She had one and all of that love.
Yes.
All of that attention, which she was going to divide between 13 of us, came down upon me. I just lost my mom a few months ago. And so it was her illness when I was little that brought me into the Salvation Army. But I also think of, and I'm going to forget so many of them, but I think of all of those, especially women officers who invested in me. Mm. When I was a little girl, Major Marilyn Aldridge was my Corps officer. And I wanted to be Marilyn Aldridge. I wanted to have a marriage that looked like her and her husband's. I looked, even though she was like 4 foot something, I looked up to her.
Yes.
And another, I think of Major Hanton, who was one of my Corps officers. I had great Corps officers as a kid and again, wanted to be like her. And I can remember her even talking to me before I went into training and telling me, you're going to have to learn how to wear your uniform. And I appreciated it so much just because I didn't come from uniform people. I, my parents weren't officers, and to have someone who cared enough to look at me and say, mm-hmm. let me tell you, this is how you should look in your uniform and be proud of it. And, you know, mm-hmm. Major Lisa Davis, who came to my corps as a young lieutenant, and I will embarrass her now by telling the world that we ruined a van together.
Oh my goodness.
Came walking into the corps, and I was like carrying a bumper.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, took that time and as when I was a teenager and invested in me. Major Arnell Ruppel, who was the assistant at Des Moines Citadel when I came as a young college student. And our cafeteria in the university I went to closed at noon on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So going to church meant I came home from church and there was nothing to eat.
Wow.
Because the cafeteria was closed.
Right.
And she and Kai and Irene Rabin made sure every Sunday I had food, just a lunch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sat with me and listened to me as a young woman talking about my dreams and my aspirations and encouraged me and gave me leadership positions in the Corps. And when I did stupid, snarky, stuff, would look at me and say, Amy Jo, it's probably best that even though the adults are looking in on the teen Sunday school class you're teaching, that you don't write sexual immorality in big letters across the board.
That is good.
And be like, what's the problem? Yeah, and they'd be like, don't do it. No, please don't. And then they'd move my Sunday school classroom to like a back part of the building.
Yes.
Where the adults wouldn't look in the window and come back to the Corps officers and go, is she really teaching them about God?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Even Colonel Dorothy Smith, who always encouraged my writing and would say, Amy Jo, you know, we need you to write this for a women's ministry publication. Mm-hmm. Amy Jo, there's stuff going out on the web. Can you write this Bible study? And always was like, hey, we need more writers and you're good and keep writing. And mm-hmm. all of those people who just touched my life and took an interest were just the sum of all of those parts. And like I said, I know I'm forgetting 101 others, but I'm just so grateful and thankful for those folks in my life who breathed life into me and gave me advice. And Major Gail Aho, who when I was a college student, I remember them giving me the keys to their car to attend some function in Chicago. And I'm like, I'm an 18-year-old kid with like a brand new car. And they're like, yeah, take it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I promise I didn't drive 90 miles per hour all the way from Omaha to Chicago.
But I got there in 6. So
I did.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
I mean, just mm-hmm. the willingness to say, yeah, we trust you with the keys mm-hmm. to the car. Mm-hmm. We care enough to give you good advice.
Yeah.
We care enough to listen to you talk when you're an 18-year-old kid who thinks you know everything, but really knows nothing. And they'll listen to your dreams and your aspirations. And it's the stuff now that I've been in this for so long. That I hope I can do to other kids and other young people and to other people is to look at them and see them and to really invest in them. Because you never know who God might take that loud kid from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And, you know, she might have impact in someone else's life one day. And
Yep. Talk about heroes of faith. That's amazing. And to have it be so incredibly personal. For you, I think we all could sit and make a list of all of those individuals. And I'm glad I know most of those people that you listed. That's so good.
Like I said, I look back and I just think, And in fact, as these officers begin to retire, I'm like, no, don't go.
Yes.
Don't leave me in charge, please.
You're really trusting me to be the next one? Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Like I said, I still feel like that 19-year-old kid who's like, really? I get the brand new car?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with my 79 Honda.
Yeah, right. Yes. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what you've come to learn about holiness and ways to integrate holiness into your everyday life. And as just to give our listeners a little idea, if they don't know, the Salvation Army, we are a holiness movement. Our foundation is holiness. So let's just talk a little bit about that, how you integrate holiness into your everyday life.
My favorite definition of holiness comes from Commissioner Phil Needham, and he writes that holiness is freedom to live every moment in God's presence. And he talks about holiness as breaking down this false barrier we have between the sacred and the everyday.
Yeah.
I sometimes, again, my obsession with culture, sometimes I think we live kind of like Homer Simpson, you know, where we get caught in something and we go, oh, don't.
Yes.
And we try to be really good when Marge is around, but you know, when Marge isn't around, well, hey.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think we do that with God, where we all try to be really good when we're at the core or at a conference or talking on a podcast. We try to be really good in those moments, but when we assume God isn't around, all bets are off. And part of what I think the sacramental life is in the Salvation Army, which is a beautiful, beautiful theology that we get to lay claim to.
Yes.
This idea that we live every moment sacramentally, that we don't have these special ceremonies, but instead we can make every moment, every meal becomes Eucharistic. Every time you wash becomes baptismal in a way that idea of how do we take those everyday moments and dedicate them to God and help them to remind us of the commitment we made to God.
That's beautiful.
That's such a challenge. And it's such a way to think about living and to think about our everyday life that when I'm eating dinner with my family, how do I make that moment sacramental? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that we, of course, in the Ferguson household talk about Avengers and those kind of things, but how do I bring God into that moment? Mm-hmm. How do I use those everyday interactions to remind me of who I am as a child of God, who I am as a Christ follower, and how do I use that to grow? And it's, like I said, it's something in the Salvation Army that I don't know if we invented it, but I think we're the only church I ever hear talking about sacramental living.
Right.
Because we do live every moment sacramentally. Right. And like I said, I think as women, going back to women's ministries, that's what women's ministry is all about.
Yes.
Right? Like, how do we make that meal with our families into a blessing and into a worship experience? And how do we make that time where we get together with our friends in embrace and make that into a worship experience? How do we make what we fill our minds with, those educational experiences, into a worship experience? Those getting together, playing games. A few years ago, we did what we do in women's ministries, is like when you don't have another idea, you go, oh, we'll do a game night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, how many times? Yeah.
It's either movie night or game night.
Yeah.
So we did game night, and we were playing Pass the Pigs. I don't know if you've ever played that game.
No, I have not.
But they come, there's these little itty bitty pigs, and you shake the pigs, and you roll them like dice.
I love that.
And depending on how the pigs land, you get points for the pigs.
Like feet up and that kind of thing?
Exactly.
I have to get this.
Yeah, this podcast was not sponsored by Pass the Pigs. We're playing Pass the Pigs, and I don't remember the exact comment that was made, but as we're playing this game, one of the ladies begins just talking about her life, and we all just, and all of a sudden we weren't passing the pigs any longer.
Yeah.
We were just uplifting each other and and sharing with each other and praying for one another, and it became this worship experience. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the challenge of the sacramental life, is how do we bring God into those everyday moments? And like I said, it's a challenge, but it's such a beautiful way to look at the way we live our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's intentional. You have to be intentional about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've just challenged me. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. You get so busy, you get so caught up in what you're doing. And we do in the Salvation Army, we are doers. We constantly are going. But just to take a moment and just remember, how do I add God into this? How do I make this a God moment? Thank you so much for saying that. That's great.
Yeah, I think because of that, I think we don't feel like we can have that kind of depth in the Salvation Army, because we have 11 doctrines. That's it.
That's it.
We're not writing, you know, we might write some books about it, but otherwise, like, you know, other churches, they're like, here, we'll do our whole class on doctrinal. And we're just like, here's the 11.
Yeah. And it used to be 12, and we've even taken one off, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, let's condense this even more.
Exactly. And yet, yeah, right. There is such depth to that, that thinking sacramentally, and and to that, you know, Jesus walked among people.
Right.
He lived with them. And I've done a sermon series on poop. It is my favorite biblical subject.
Oh, can I come to your core?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone's invited to Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay.
But we talked about, and part of the reason we did that sermon series was to just bring it down to a very real level. We started out with Paul talking to Timothy about in a household, there are vessels for ignoble purposes. I said, you do know what ignoble purposes are, like, that's the chamber pots, guys.
Right.
And you look at those verse, and Paul says, through the power of Jesus Christ, you take the chamber pots and you make them into the finest china.
Mm.
You and I both know you don't take the pots you're pooping in and serve soup in them.
Right, right.
And yet sin does that to our lives. Like,
yeah.
it just infests us.
Mm-hmm.
And through Jesus Christ, He cleanses us so completely and transforms us so completely that the poop pot becomes the good soup bowl.
Yes.
And
you're not going to go back to making it a poop pot again.
Right, right.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. And what a great message that, because so many people we come into contact with feel like that's what's happened in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never get back what I lost, and I'll never be that clean, beautiful pot that God created me to be. And to say, no, the Bible talks about this stuff.
Right.
So often we put it up in pretty posters, a vessel for noble purposes.
Yeah. Right. When we know now, we
exactly
know
what that vessel used to be.
Yeah.
And,
well, they do call it the throne too. You know, I mean,
That is great.
Yeah. Okay.
And God's word gets down in there, and you know, right. and as salvationists, being that active church, those hands of Christ, we get down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great privilege it is for us to when we get there to say, hey, guess what, guys?
Yeah.
God has a plan and a purpose, and has a place for you on the throne.
Yes. Yes. That's amazing. Awesome. Okay. We have one more section to cover. Let's dive even deeper and from holiness and talk about, you did your master's degree, your master's project on the three New Testament analogies of the church, the body, the building, and the bride. So tell us what you discovered about this and how you apply this to your ministry.
So in the New Testament, there are three primary analogies for the church. Paul's favorite analogy is the body, and he uses it both as a description of a local church as a body and as the church universal, with Christ as the head, as the body. Peter's favorite analogy is the church as a building. And then John in Revelation talks about the church coming down as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, and talks about this beautiful analogy as a bride. So in my master's project, I looked at those three analogies. And one of the interesting things I found really in all three of them was how we look at each other and how we find how God values us and the value the world puts us on us. So you take the body, for instance, and we're going to go back to my favorite biblical subject of poop. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. I'm there.
Paul talks about how, you know, we're a body of Christ. And then he gets to this wonky section where he's like, and some parts of your body, you don't really want to show off. So you treat them with special modesty. And I think a lot of times when we're preaching that passage, we just kind of go, and then we'll stop the scripture reading right there. And we'll read that passage really quickly, and we just won't talk about what Paul is talking about there.
Right.
But Paul says, you treat those parts special. He doesn't say you get rid of those parts. He doesn't say you ostracize those parts. He doesn't say that you try to make those parts into things that you'll parade on in public.
Right.
He says those parts of your body that you go, oh goodness, I don't want to show this to anyone. And as I get older, I think the more of my body are those parts.
Right.
He says you treat them special because they are still a part of the body. And I think about so many people who come into the church and, you know, as leaders, even we think, oh, if only we could change him a little bit, or if only we could make him a little presentable. And that's not the message that Paul gives to us. The message Paul gives to us in a very real way is how you treat those people defines your church, how you give them special attention because they are so important.
Yes.
You cover them. And you think about the image of covering, you cover and lavish them. And you do everything you can for because they are part of your body. Mm. And as I look at my ministry and I look at people in the church, and I really, it's such a challenge to say, okay, how do I live up to that scripture?
Yes.
And Paul, especially to the Corinthians, he doubles down and says, think about yourselves. When you came to Christ, who were you? You were some of those parts that we wanted to cover up, guys.
Right, right.
And I think about my own life, you know, a little girl, I grew up very poor, three blocks from the Salvation Army. And I think about how the people who said, that's someone that we put a little, you know, we want to put a little more love into that one, how that in fact impacted me. And to think how we can do that in our core with our body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And who are those people that just need a little more covering? And just need us to surround them and to not to say, oh man, are you going to come out and embarrass us again? You know, or oh man, they showed up again. What do we do? But to think the way we treat that person and welcome that person and love that person is what defines us as a church. Mm-hmm. And Peter, he reiterates it when you go into the church as a building. Peter says, look who the cornerstone is. The cornerstone was rejected by the builders.
Yeah.
And these are builders who didn't reject a lot of stones. Like they, you know, you look, they're trying to get everything in. And these are the ones they went, yeah, it's really not going to work.
Yeah.
And that's us. And Peter says he took those stones that are dead. We dead as a stone, literally dead. And makes us into things that stones shouldn't be, living.
Yeah.
And builds us up into this beautiful, the image he has as a temple, into this beautiful temple and the Shekinah glory, you know, coming down into the temple. And how, again, those folks that have been rejected, cast aside, that is so much what the Salvation Army is about, is those folks who the rest of the world goes, yeah, I'm not sure we want them. And our history is full of it. You know, Elijah Cadman,
right?
4 foot 11, couldn't read,
yes.
You know, was getting drunk underneath the bar. I mean, all the stories about Commissioner Cadman.
Yes.
And yet Commissioner Cadman, William Booth sat and says, I'm putting you in charge of how to do the In Darkest England scheme.
Yeah.
When I was a little girl, my father, my biological father, was building a backdrop for his fireplace in his house because that's how we heated the house. And and so he wanted it to be safe. So he had to protect the wooden walls. And he had bought these stones to go on this backdrop. And as a little girl, I found like a little gray rock out in the backyard. And I was like, Dad, I found this beautiful gray rock.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And to this day, I can go to my father's house and I see these beautiful stones. And in the middle of these beautiful stones is this little gray rock.
Oh, man.
And I think, you know, that God does that same with us, right? Mm. Our Heavenly Father says, little gray rock, you have a place in my building.
Right. And I can use you.
Yeah. And you will stand forever. And what and you know, again, when you go into to John's analogy with the bride, you get that same thing. You look into, and the bride is one of the oldest analogies of God's people in the Bible. It goes way back into the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And in the Old Testament, God says, I found you and you were naked and dying in the wilderness. And I brought you in and I clothed you and I made you into something beautiful. And I wed you and made you into my bride. And then we get this culmination in Revelation where the bride comes, and what is she dressed in? The righteous acts of the saints.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful, and again, I brought you and you didn't have any clothing of your own.
Yeah, right.
You were naked and I gave you the most beautiful clothing I could imagine.
Yeah.
The acts of righteousness, which were those things that were done in my name. You know, like I said, it's a challenge because I don't want to obviously say, well, Amy Jo, I got that together.
Right.
But when you think about how often we're tempted to do things in the church, we're tempted to say, oh, you know, May, she comes and she's mentally ill and she talks to herself. And if I could just, you know, like keep her from talking back in the sermon today, that would be great. And yet,
yeah,
May, I want to clothe you with the righteous acts of the saints.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I want to bring you in and to welcome you and to make you into that special little part of my church.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, it's such a challenge for us because the world, and this was happening in biblical times, the world is like those people. And yeah, our challenge as the people of God is to say, they're my people.
Yes.
Because they're God's people.
Right.
I had completed my master's degree, oh, 6-7 years ago, and it's still something as you can hear, it's still something I'm working through, and I'm trying to figure out how that looks and to live that out in a real way.
Right. Because we certainly are not a country club, and we can't operate in that way. We can't think of ourselves as, you know, well, you have to meet a certain standard in order to belong. A lot of times we have to get out of the pretty. And we wear our Sunday best, but why are we really going to church?
Yeah. Well, and how can we invite others to be their Sunday best as well?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. When my husband and I, before training college, there was a gentleman who came to the core who lived at a group home. Hmm. And when my husband first became a soldier, the men of the Corps, and this was a Corps that had a great strong men's group. Hmm. I know it's a women's podcast.
That's okay. But that's all right.
Strong men's group. And they invited Paul into one of their ministries. And one of their ministries was to go to this group home on Sunday mornings and help this gentleman get into a Salvation Army uniform.
Oh my gosh, what a ministry.
You know, like I said, even I can remember going into training college and officer looking at me and saying, yeah, that's not the way we wear a uniform, Amy Jo. And it was because I grew up hand-me-downs. And, you know, if it sort of fit and covered your body, that's what you wore. And to have someone say how beautiful you are. And I think to be the person that says that to others, this is how beautiful you are. To bring out that Sunday best in people. We just see people bloom and flourish because of it.
That's amazing. You are such a delight to talk to. I just want you to know, why are you so far away? I wish you were closer so I could like come and hang out at your house. Cause I'm sure you even have like a Wonder Woman picture on your while there. That's amazing. I'm just looking around at your
office. I am surrounded in my office by Moose and Wonder Woman.
That's such an extreme.
I used Moose as a sermon illustration. Again, I know, like, they're all thinking, how does this woman preach? Poop,
yeah, no. Moose? It's awesome.
The Avengers.
There's never a dull moment.
I have this thing where, like, Moose can't survive below a certain latitude. They're like, their bodies just can't do it. Really? Global warming is a problem for Moose because they have just this perfect place. And they're stubborn and they're big and they're farsighted. I am also farsighted.
Okay.
So they have all these things, and yet God found a place for Moose.
Yeah.
You know, Amy Jo, you are stubborn and you're farsighted, and God found a place for you.
I love that.
So Moose, remind me that God has a place for everybody.
That's awesome.
Even big, huge creatures, you know.
And sometimes we can feel like that, right? That's how I feel like I'm walking through life with antlers, and I'm just hitting people and running into things and not knowing my own spatial, you know, relations. Where the heck am I? Yeah.
There's a video online of a moose, like, getting caught in a child swing set. And the poor moose is like, happening here?
Oh, my gosh.
I know this isn't on video, so no one can see us, like, thrashing around. But, and like I said, it's such a reminder that if God can go, I can find a place where you can look beautiful and majestic.
Yes.
Right? Here is a ooh, and we see these beautiful pictures of moose in the wilderness, like and if God can do that with moose,
there's
one outside the realm of possibility, right?
That's right.
There is a place where God can make us all beautiful and majestic.
There's hope for us all. I love that. Oh, that's good.
And Wonder Woman, I just like her. There's no sermon illustration with Wonder Woman.
Old Wonder Woman, like tall leather boot, like the, you know, this 1980s Wonder Woman or the new Wonder Woman?
Well, growing up in the 80s.
Yeah.
I have been spinning around since 1980 trying to, like, this is how the bikini fits. I'm a very gullible person. And so I always loved that Wonder Woman had a belt of truth, because that was something I always wished I could, like, tie around. And go, really?
Tell me what you really think.
Are you sure?
lasso
of truth. Yeah. My first appointment, the custodian had to drive, like, women home from women's camp for some reason. I don't remember why. And on Monday, I said, how did it go? And he looked at me and he went, well, the van broke down. And I was just mortified. And I was like, oh, no. And he's telling me how, like, all the ladies got out and were pushing the van. I'm like, oh, how did you break it back? And he's just laughing at me as I am just absolutely mortified. Just, and he's like, yeah, no, we would have called you.
No, jeez.
And I'm like, oh.
Oh, my gosh. So, I would have believed that too. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, what did you do next? You know, like,
exactly. So I should not out myself on a podcast for being as gullible as I am.
It's all right. You can still be beautiful and gullible. You know, God can use you. Are moose gullible? I mean,
I probably. I do know they are incredibly stubborn. Like, just like sit, stand in the middle of the road and look at you.
Like, I'm not moving. You're moving. Thank you. Well, Amy Jo, it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today and coming on and sharing with us from your heart. You've challenged me personally today, and I know our listeners are going to be inspired and challenged by what you had to say. So we will be praying for you and your husband and your ministry, and just pray God's blessing on you as you go forth. Keep treading like a moose.
Thank you. And thank you so much for the invite. This was wonderful. I had so much fun.
Good. All right. Well, I know we're going to hear more from you in the future, so we'll be in touch.
All right.
Okay. Okay. I meant it when I said, I wish I lived close enough that I could go to Major Amy Jo's Corps. It really sounds like they have such a good time. I love what she said in part one about that she feels it's a sin to make church boring. Amen. I love that. But then did you hear her heart? I especially loved when we talked about making your life sacramental in everything that we do, every moment of your life being sacramental. That was absolutely beautiful. And in that same vein and being intentional about that, how are we intentional about making sure everyone knows that they are wanted and loved and a part of the body of Christ and a part of our family? So I hope that you were challenged and inspired today by what Major Amy Jo shared with us. Friends, I just want to give another plug about registering for our virtual Women's Ministries Conference coming up January 28th through the 29th of 2022. Go to our website, uscwomensministries.com. You can register there. It's only $25 and you get some really cool swag out of it. And the conference itself is going to be a time of reflection and encouragement for your soul. So don't miss it. Mark your calendars, get registered. Thanks again for listening today. The Prepare Podcast is a production of the Salvation Army Central Territory Women's Ministries Department. And I hope that this podcast has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'll see you next time. God bless you today.